Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the Stay Up Podcast. My name is Jim Dacian. I'm author of the book Stay Up, Los Angeles Street Art. And with me today, I have the notorious Shark Tooth. Thanks, Shark Tooth, for being here. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. I've had the pleasure of attending your recent show. I think it was last year. Running into you at a number of exhibits along the way, so it's a pleasure to get you on the phone and to talk a little bit about your art.
Oh, thank you for having me. It'll be interesting to see my upcoming show, October 20th at the Cave Gallery, is my solo show titled The Ping Pong Show. Subtitle is The Spectacle of Romance and Nature.
Okay, so that doesn't sound like Shark Tooth material. What's the deal with the title, and can you tell me a little bit more about the concept of the show?
Well, my fine art, well, the whole Shark Tooth thing is more of a conduit into what I think is more of a forum or a platform to really speak up about your art, or at least your fine art. I try not to blend the two too much because the gallery stuff is more cathartic and you could sit with it, whereas the street stuff really has to kind of sucker punch you and make you just at least pause for a moment, enjoy it, and move on.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, and you're exactly right. With gallery art, you have a longer time with the audience. If someone is going to purchase something, put it in their home, you want them to be able to continue to come back to that work and find more layers and more conversations to happen. And you're right, with on the street, you gotta punch them in the face and get their attention because they've got this whole world to compete with. So is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah, and I mean, Los Angeles is more of a driving culture, so to get someone to stop on the street is pretty rare. I think that's probably why there's saturated areas of street art and graffiti for those to sort of absorb it longer. But for the most part, I think things, if you want just the general public to enjoy it, I think it has to be graphic, strong, and just something sort of disruptive in the environment.
Yeah, I think your imagery definitely does that. It noticeably pops up. And I'm curious, where did the name Shark Tooth come from? What are the origins of that?
Well, it's an it's a culmination of upbringing, schooling, depression. It was about 3 years in the making.
Okay.
When I graduated Art Center in 1998, I was doing a lot of freelance illustrating, teaching, and my instructors at Art Center, who were a bunch of legends, but the Clayton brothers highly suggested that I incorporate graffiti into my fine art and my illustration, but I kind of denied that whole process because it was kind of a negative, it was a positive upbringing, but it was a very negative aspect to the art that at the time a lot of people, it wasn't as accepting, but I knew they were right all along, and it took me a few years to really feel comfortable going back to it. I guess it never leaves you, but it was something that I had to sit with, and I knew I wanted to come back at it with a different persona, something more palatable, something strong, but yet iconographic and something that can sit with me that I'm not too hard on, that I can enjoy it as a spectator as well.
Okay.
So in a way, I'm like not even responsible for the work. It's kind of like this other person doing it. So the name Sharktooth actually came up as a joke. I knew I wanted to come up with an icon that was maybe an animal. I'd been looking around on the streets, like internationally, locally, and no one had been doing, I mean, you've seen bunnies, you've seen monkeys, you've seen bandits, you've seen different icons, and I was shocked that no one had really did something, you know, this like aggressive and strong. So started to develop the drawing as a joke. The initial drawings looked like KKK hooded like figures.
Okay.
They were just kind of these angry triangles.
Yeah.
So just developed it and it stuck and I didn't hate it. And I haven't rejected it since. So I just felt really comfortable with the work.
So did this manifest in a school project or was it something that was on the side of school as you were getting critiques and feedback? Did it come into the classroom actually?
This was actually pretty far after graduation. I just was
making dishonest work.
But the whole time I was still using my old graffiti name. It's just something you can't really put down. It's just something that's like your lifestyle. So my original tag name was Miser One. And I started doing graffiti in 1985, late 84, early 85. My first graffiti book was actually, which changed my entire life, was the actor David Arquette was doing graffiti at the time. And he was one of the first black books that I had ever seen. And it completely changed my whole, like, artistic everything. And I knew I had to do that, whatever that was. And it was graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do that forever.
Oh, interesting. So, you know, in knowing that and hearing folks talk about that passion, and almost like an addiction, is that you get so enamored by you. It's a process that you love. And the fine art world is different, and it is a different language. It's a different type of posturing. And you've managed to balance that and make that transition very well. As you said, you keep them separate. But at the same time, they seem to complement one another for you. Can you say more about that balancing role that you're currently in between?
Well, I think it's important to keep up with what's contemporary. So currently, it's street art. And graffiti. I believe because the internet, I mean, we didn't have this information straight to our faces with a click of a button. So the best information we ever had back in the day was passing around a photo book or photo album of graffiti pieces. And it's really interesting because it's hard to keep up with all the history of the movement right now, because it just seemed like overnight it just became a blast of all these artists. With that being said, I feel like obtaining gallery work is so much easier than before. When I had to peddle around my portfolio in New York, we made these handmade cases out of wood and had to do 4x5 transparencies and truck them over to the New Yorker, over to book publishers and magazines. And then now it's a click of a button. So the most important thing, and especially with my career in keeping track of the streets, keeping track of the galleries, is that I think everything kind of goes in waves and trends. And when I saw and felt the explosion of street art and graffiti, I kind of wanted to lean off a little bit and excel in the gallery while everyone's sort of paying attention to this direction only. I really wanted to focus and nail all the stuff that I've been sort of waiting to get to being off of the street. Mm-hmm. So I think it, again, like it goes in waves. So, you know, once in the streets kind of seem a little quieter these days, like I think it's about the time to focus more attention on that as well. So I'm kind of eager to kind of step back into that realm, even though I haven't really ever stepped out.
Right. But I understand what you mean is that when you put your focus towards something, your thinking is much deeper in that area and more emphasis. And then the way gallery shows work, it's not as though you have a gallery show every month, especially with a solo show. I mean, it takes time to put a quality show together. And so it seems as though, the rhythm of that could work very much in your favor with having a big show and then being able to walk back and forth like that or put your attention. And you're right about the rhythm. It's something I've noticed. I certainly am not as experienced as you are. But just as an observer, just the energy that you see virtually coming through, but also on the streets, is you can feel that energy ebb and flow. And the virtual aspect is really important, too, because that obviously has been a huge means of communication. And so I'm curious how you interact online with folks who collect your work or who learn about you online. Do you have much of relationships with people, with fans of yours online?
Oh, I definitely do. I think it's inevitable that you build up a fan base or a collector base. My current work is I'm consistently trying to move the work beyond the last work, and I have set goals, and I think a lot of my fans or collectors are sort of moved and shocked that the work has transformed so much. But it takes a little getting used to, and I know I've definitely lost people and I've gained people, and I think that's a responsibility that you kind of have to ward off, because it can really affect the art, and the art needs to stay honest and stay true. And I think the same thing for the streets. Everything that I've ever done, I think artistically, has always been honest to what I've wanted to say, what I wanted to achieve with the work. And it goes beyond just trying to sell a piece.
Mm-hmm. I think watching you at your opening and how you interacted with folks was something that was very endearing as folks come to you for a signature or they bring a postage sticker. And there's something you said that sort of thing really makes a difference that I typically don't see in the larger professional art world, this kind of kindness and generosity. Which I thought was wonderful. And then so I enjoyed watching the process happen as folks just, sheepishly sometimes come up to you to engage you and how you embrace them. So I thought that it's a really wonderful process, and it's something I would like to see more of in the larger art world. You've had some success, obviously, with museum shows and some really big gallery shows. I mean, is there things that you've learned from, making these steps in the last few years?
I think push the work, no matter how you feel your audience is more comfortable with. I know that people get settled into it, identifying with colors with an artist or a style with an artist. And I think that's great. It's to keep a strict, or maybe not a strict guideline, but your style becomes iconographic. And I think no matter what work I do, there underlying it's there, it's sitting there. But at the same time, it's my duty to challenge even my collectors or the audience or the people that perceive the work as this style. Or I think it's really important to just keep moving it and challenging it. And if you're not arm wrestling your piece, I feel like you're probably not doing, you're not really not pushing the work. It's like a girlfriend, you know, you sleep with it, you're angry at it. No, I don't mean to talk about a girlfriend as it, but it's a part of you. It's a mirror, it's a reflection. So if you can stare back in the mirror and feel comfortable with it, you're either doing a good job or you're probably making something really safe. And I think that's the new work, is I can easily make a safe piece for, you know, a birthday cake for everyone to enjoy. But I think it's more important to, you know, put some ingredients together and try something different.
Yeah, it sounds like courage. You know, that I remember hearing that if you really want to take your painting, or you want to take your painting or your art to the next level, you got to have the courage to throw your painting off the side of the roof. You know, that, you know, you do away with the older stuff so you can explore new ground. And it sounds like it really is. It's courage, because you're already safe and successful to a certain point, and it's that unknown barrier that you got to break through. And you just don't know what those reactions. But that's what's so exciting. It's new knowledge. It's new discoveries and new inquiry in general and where to go.
Yeah.
So thinking about
the future. I think it's applicable to the streets as well. I personally would love to see more street art not be concentrated in an area. And that's something that's very seldom. I think the only thing, you know, traveling, being on the road, as road trips, you know, you go into a bathroom stall and you get to see, you know, 500 scribes on a door. To me, that's like beauty. That's just, that's like true street art, like leaving. It's like something you have to do. And I love that continuation. But I feel like street art, and I think, well, the separation, graffiti ends up being those random places, but it's very seldom that I see street art in random places. And when I talk to some of the newer guys, you know, I'm always kind of saying, like, you know, I'd love to see your stuff, you know, in a really random truck spot or something interesting like that. I think you could pretty much set up a camera in a few areas and consistently take pictures of street art, because it just ends up there. And because people want that to get noticed right away. But that's, you know, that's, you got to take it further. And that's, you got to be hard on yourself and say, okay, I'm going to dump it in a place where nobody even cares or knows about it or wants to know about it. And that's, I believe, some of the transformation that street art and graffiti could take.
Yeah, that seems very applicable to the personal process that you talked about as well. And so, yeah, you hear that. I mean, who are you making it for? And it sounds as though when you take it to these different locations and contexts, you're forcing yourself into a bit of an uncomfortable role, and perhaps you might get something that's a little bit more powerful as well.
Absolutely.
Not as predictable.
Absolutely. It's way more powerful.
Yeah. So you have a new book that just came out that looks absolutely fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, thanks. It was published by Zero Plus Publishing, and I'm doing a book signing on October 11th at La Luz de Jesus. I believe it's from 6 to 9. There's going to be two box sets available. One is a more sculptural experience. It's a dual folding box. It's all handmade. It's printed and painted inside and out. It has an original, comes with an original painting and 13 or 14 original pieces to create your own assemblage. So you'll actually, you could drill them, you could double stick them to your wall, but there'll be 13 pieces for you to arrange in a more installation type approach. And the idea for that box, because I'm not a box designer, but I was doing a lot of research, and one of my favorite artists is Duchamp, and he has a traveling museum. And I love that idea of just being able to plop something down and go, well, there, you know, there it is. And you're in it. It kind of is a parallel to street art because you're instantly a part of the work. You're almost responsible and you're a participant. And I feel like a lot of, and I don't know if this is more important or less important, but a lot of art removes the viewer, you know, when you watch people, if they don't get something, it's easy for them to walk away, or, you know, if it's too challenging, or I could do that, you know, or my little kid can do that. And so I feel like it's really important to have the collector or viewer a participant. So that's the first box set. The second box set is, I believe, is going to be an edition of 30. It comes in a hand-stenciled cardboard box and a couple prints and some stickers. So it'll be super fun to unveil those.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. I mean, that's, I think, what we love so much as collectors and fans is being able to engage with art like yourselves on another level. I mean, you're right exactly. You typically, museum visitors look at the artwork for about 3 seconds. They spend longer reading the card than they do the actual work. So when you can engage folks physically, it leads to conceptual engagement as well. So I think that's great. And it seems like just the opposite of when you're talking about making the handmade boxes for portfolios when you'd you know, show your work around New York or try to get that next show. So it's actually kind of nice to do it when it's really desired and becomes something special rather than something you're preparing that hopefully someone will look at. So that's a nice story around there. So Sharktooth, if folks want to learn more about these events or if they want to follow more of your work or if they want to buy something, or where could we point them towards?
I have a fan page on Facebook, Sharktooth, spelled shark and then tooth, T-O-O-F. As in Frank. I have an Instagram. I have I think all the social networking things. I also have a website that needs to be updated. But that will click you to all the information, Facebook and otherwise, sharktooth.com. And otherwise, scribe a message on something you might see of mine, and we can communicate from there.
All right. Fantastic. Well, thanks again for taking the time this morning. We look forward to seeing more of what you're doing, and we'll follow you closely. So thanks again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. So for folks interested in future interviews, you can visit us at our Facebook page, Day of Los Angeles Street Art. But until then, we'll see you next week. Thanks so much.